Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Whether you're a patient in an exam room or a hospital room, a lot of people come through that door to administer care. It's easy to spot the nurse who takes your vitals, but then someone in a white lab coat enters and starts asking questions. A few minutes later, there's another lab-coated visitor. And when the doctor comes in, yet another stranger is by his or her side. Who are all these people examining you? Why are they here? And can you say, no, I just want to see the doctor?
Observing and interacting with patients is a big part of medical training. For medical students and interns, residents and fellows, at every level of education, exam room and hospital visits offer learning opportunities. But for the patient who isn't sure who's who when they come through the door, it can be confusing. Here to tell us who all these people are is Dr. Robert Schmerling, Associate Physician and Clinical Chief of Rheumatology at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Dr. Schmerling is an Associate Professor in Medicine at Harvard Medical School and an active teacher in the Internal Medicine Residency Program.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Schmerling.
Thank you.
All right. It was good to read the piece that you had written about your own confusion as to who you were seeing when you were a patient in the exam room. Because, you know, if I can't figure it out, I expect that a doctor who's a patient would, but you admit no. You were confused by who was seeing you. Tell us that story.
Sure. Well, I had a minor hand problem, a cyst in one of my tendons that needed to be removed because it was causing a lot of pain. And I made an appointment with a hand surgeon who had a very good reputation, but I had never met. And when I went to see him, the first person who came in the room, I had assumed was this hand surgeon. And I was shocked at how young he was. And he never introduced himself. He went right to my hand to examine me. And then he disappeared. He stood up and walked out and came back with an older gentleman who turned out to be the hand surgeon that I had made the appointment with. And so even though I am immersed in a teaching hospital setting and I know how the trainee system works, I myself was confused about who had come in and thought the first person seeing me was the attending physician, the specialist that I'd scheduled an appointment with, when in fact he was a trainee, a surgical resident, who was learning from his mentor, the physician I'd made the appointment with.
I'm sure it's good manners and good practice when somebody walks in the room, whatever their role is, to introduce themselves to the patient and let them know what they're there to do. But in addition, aren't healthcare providers required to wear ID badges with their name and their role?
By and large, yes, they are required to do that. Although in a private doctor's office or in other medical settings other than a big academic hospital, it may not be routine to always have a identification badge visible. In addition, and I'm guilty of this myself, I wear an ID badge around my neck, which can flip over. And so you actually don't see the photograph or the name. You see the small print on the back of the ID or my parking card or something else rather than my ID. So, or it can be under your tie or under your white coat and not visible. So that's helpful, but it doesn't always do the trick.
So really we're talking about general good manners of the medical person walking into an exam room and introducing themselves. Let's talk about the medical staff in a doctor's office. You mentioned, we'll talk about a private doctor's office, and we'll get to a teaching hospital later. But who are the cast of characters that you might interact with before you see your primary care physician? In not just the receptionist, but once you're put into an exam room and they tell you to get in the gown, the next person that comes in could be who?
Could be a health assistant, the person who takes your blood pressure, checks your temperature, may ask you a few questions about your medications or whether you need refills. There are doctor's offices where there are individuals with a hybrid role. They're receptionist and they're also the health assistant, and so that part can be confusing. But usually these are people who have had some training in how to take vital signs and how to gather that initial kind of information.
Now, when you experience an interaction with someone like a medical assistant or a health assistant, is the next person going to be the doctor, or could a nurse practitioner or a PA be the next person?
All the above. Absolutely. The next person in the room could be a nurse, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant. We call them physician extenders. These are physician's assistants or nurse practitioners. They're all healthcare providers, and many are highly competent and do many of the things that physicians do, but they're not physicians. So if it's not clear who they are or what their role is, it can be very confusing.
And let me ask your advice on this, and I mean this with all due respect. What is your recommendation for the most polite way to ask this person who they are and what their role is without putting them off? Because we all know, I think, as patients, you do not want to make enemies with the healthcare team. And just saying, excuse me, what is your name and what is your role could be off-putting, or is that the best question?
Well, I think it is appropriate to ask if you're not sure who you're dealing with. And, you know, I would mention that not only is it good manners to introduce yourself as the healthcare provider who, with whatever role you are or have, it's really good medical care and good interaction for the patient to have, to know who they're dealing with. So, but I, in my own view, I think it's appropriate to ask, and you're right, it can feel like you're going to make the person defensive by asking them. And they may have already introduced themselves. It's very easy to forget the name, and they may have said their name and not their role. So my recommendation is to make it light. Maybe even some self-deprecation can be useful. Say, I'm sorry, I have trouble remembering all the names of the people coming in and out. Who are you again? And what is your relationship with Dr. X, who I thought I was seeing today? You know, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble keeping up with all of this.
I
think that goes a long way, and I think a reasonable nurse practitioner or physician's assistant or health assistant will not be offended in any way by that question.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And our guest today to tell us who are all these people in the exam room is Dr. Robert Schmerling. He's associate physician and clinical chief of rheumatology at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. He's an associate professor in medicine at Harvard Medical School and an active teacher in the internal medicine residency program. Dr. Schmerling, you've been talking about the people who we might see in the doctor's office, and I would call them permanent staff because they are part of the doctor's healthcare team. But there are also the people that I think of as the visitors, and those would be the ones that that you have knowledge of because they come through medical school or they're at the upper levels, residency, fellowship, and you can probably be the one to explain the differences and what they're doing there.
Sure. The medical trainee system is a giant hierarchy where toward the bottom are the folks just getting into the profession. They may be medical students, for instance. Once you graduate from medical school, you become a resident, and that might be a resident in surgery, in medicine, in obstetrics and gynecology, et cetera, many different fields of medicine. Once residency is complete, you're typically qualified to practice, although some people then do additional specialty training, and that's called fellowship. So I'm an arthritis doctor. I completed a rheumatology fellowship. Cardiologists will complete a cardiology fellowship. So they've already got their MD after 4 years of med school. They've already completed a residency, typically 3 years for medicine, 4 years, 5 years for surgical specialties. And then fellowship is the additional specialty training after that.
So all these people are going to eventually come through along with a doctor, physician, surgeon who's their mentor.
That's exactly right. And in virtually every medical setting, the trainees may see you as a patient, but you should also meet and be evaluated by the supervising physician. So they may be called their mentor. They may be called an attending physician. Those are the ones who have already completed their training and are now supervising the other medical trainees.
And what about a hospitalist? I don't know if that term is used universally, but there seem to be more and more of them, especially on the overnight shift. It seems like they're the doctor on call, even if they are not part of your physician's office. Let's say you go in for gallbladder surgery and you're there overnight or some other surgery. You may not see your doctor till the next day or the following day if you're in for a while, but you may see a hospitalist, and that hospitalist may be making medical decisions on your case, even though you've never met them before. What is the role of the hospitalist?
So hospitalists are typically well-trained physicians in internal medicine or other specialties who are employed by the hospital, work full-time at the hospital, and take care of patients who are admitted. There are variants on this, such as a nocturnist. These are physicians who work overnight in that sort of role. Some specialty areas like oncology, cancer care, have their own hospital-based physicians. And it's really grown out of the last 10, 15 years, a movement to make medical care in the hospital more efficient. It's very inefficient if you're a private doctor in the community and you have one patient admitted for pneumonia to take time out of the day to travel to the hospital, see the patient, tell the medical trainees and nurses and the patient, you know, what's going on and what you think the care should be to coordinate the care, and then come back to your office and see patients again. You can lose, you know, an hour or two on one patient. And that used to be the norm, but increasingly, in the name of efficiency, I would say in large part, the hospitalist movement came about. So that's what the hospitalist is there for. They're already there. They communicate, hopefully, well with the regular doctor who knows the patient best, but they're on site and ready to take care of patients who are admitted.
As a patient, do I have a right to say, you know, I don't want to see all of these trainees. I just want to see my doctor.
You do have the right to say that, and to a large degree, hopefully completely honored. That preference would be honored. But if you're in a teaching hospital, it may not always be possible to see your own doctor in a timely way at all hours of the day or night. So there are going to be trainees who are on site, who are part of the medical team. And for patients who really don't want that, they only want to see their own doctor, they'd probably be better off getting care at in a medical setting that doesn't include medical trainees. But when you come into a big teaching hospital, usually that's part of the bargain.
Dr. Robert Schmerling is an associate physician and clinical chief of rheumatology at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Dr. Schmerling is also an associate professor in medicine at Harvard Medical School and an active teacher in the internal medicine residency program. Such an interesting topic, and we really do appreciate your insight.
Well, thank you very much.